sound is.
We are back in the distillery in a big bad way. How you feeling, mate?
Excellent. How good is it to be back, Tom?
It's fantastic. It's been a big few weeks. And look, how good is it to be doing Ouzo Talk again?
It is. Like I say, we do one every fortnight, but you miss it, don't you?
Well, I do anyway. And we've been getting some fantastic mail from a lot of our listeners, haven't we? I mean, the inbox has been flooded, hasn't it?
We have. And look, thank you to all those people out there. And we actually hit 95 countries around the world, would you believe?
95 now.
95. So Albania, I think it was our latest lot of listeners come through. So welcome to Team Albania.
Wow. Okay. So, which one's the weirdest one we've had so far, though? It's got to still be like Pakistan, hasn't it?
Yeah, Jersey, would you believe? We got listeners from Jersey, which is like is that a British colony? I don't even know what it is. Apparently it's a country, according to our stats. And we got listeners from Jersey, yeah, crazy.
Listeners from Jersey.
Yeah, Africa and South America, too many now. Amazing, it's taken off and we're growing with every episode. So we can see the stats. There's a lot more listeners out there. So thank you to all who are following us and spreading the word. We can tell you're spreading the word because our shows are growing. We haven't really advertised, have we? So
not really.
No.
Not really.
It's just word of mouth. It's very organic growth. It's very green, aren't we?
And you can hear that just by listening to us, can't you? We're getting better at it, I think. We're getting better.
You think?
Yeah. I'm being nice.
Yeah, you know what it is? We don't drink as much before we start. I think that's the trick.
That is true. And for a podcast called Ouzo Talk, I don't know, it's kind of like false advertising now. Although we are still drinking. But
well, back in the day, 18 months ago, I think we were drinking like two or three, four shots before we started, remember? As we're prepping.
Band prayer, as they call it in the music world.
You'll change, mate, but for the better.
But look, I'm trying to lose some weight, you know, and it's working a little bit, but, you know, anyway.
So why are you trying to lose weight, Tom?
Because I need a beach bod, mate. We're going to Greece. Of course, that's why I need to lose some weight, you know. I've had the one pack for how many years now? How long have I been married for?
I don't know.
That's how long
I've only ever known you with one pack.
Yeah.
Well, you got, what is it, 4 months? We've got 4 months, mate.
Do we? Is it 4 months?
Four months. Maybe one or two podcasts.
Perhaps.
While we're there, so we'll see what happens.
From the beach.
Beach or the barakia?
Either. At any rate, we need a six-pack of beers.
But yeah, of course, we've got heads for radios and bodies for nothing.
That's right.
So we've got to record from the neck up.
That's it. Well, anyway, look, we're
going off topic.
We're getting too deep into this. Look, we have a fantastic guest with us who we follow on Instagram and who we've followed on Instagram for a very long time now. And believe it or not, Nick, she is from right in our backyard, isn't she?
Of course. We always say this. The greatest people are in our backyard.
And bear in mind, we've had the likes of Admiral James Stavridis, who was the head of NATO, Peter Economides, brand marketing legend. We've had Mary Kustas. We've had all these people.
No disrespect for them, but we got our guest comes with gifts.
She does. She's come. I mean, she's known as the Eros Queen, which should say it all, really. And she has come, as Nick says, bearing gifts, loaded with bags of food, and it just looks fantastic. I mean, she's known most notably for having overdosed on Yiddo in Greece. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's the one story that everyone will always bring up no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's probably my proudest moment so far.
I would be proud of that, absolutely. I'd be dining out on that for the rest of my life.
Now we know there's a piece of advice that I can give to people, and it's don't have 3 Yiddos a day for 5 days in a row. Who would have thought, right?
I know.
Like,
surely we do that anyway.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with that up until I OD'd on Yiddo.
I've got to hear this story.
Clinical term.
Wow. Well, look, the Eros Queen. So, Kelly Roditis is your actual name. Let's be upfront about that. Welcome to Ouzo Talk.
Thank you. Welcome, thank you, Kelly, for having me. I have brought some mezevis, I would say. And
it's a little more than that, really.
It's a little bit more than that. It's my version of mezevis. So, like I said, wherever I go, whenever I meet people, I always carry Yiddo souvlaki with me. It's just what I do. I'm hoping one day, if I ever really make it in life and I'm, you know, someone famous, I want to look back and say, I was that girl that brought Yiddo wherever she went.
That is fair. You know, there's only 3 of us today.
Yeah, this is for one.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you look at her Instagram, like fair dinkum, you see her sitting down at some places, and it's like, oh, this is the spread, and it's like, that's all for me.
Classic.
The best part is that people don't believe me. They don't believe that I actually eat so much. So yeah. I don't know why they don't believe me. I mean, I wouldn't start an Instagram page, you know, had I not overdosed. And for someone to overdose, it's pretty serious, right?
Yeah.
So you have to eat a lot. But yeah, everything that I post on my Instagram, I eat.
Wow, is that how it started though? From the overdose?
It did start as that. It started initially as a joke because of the overdose. So I was in Greece in 2019, and like any other Greek, I was just, you know, going at it with a euro every single day. And where I lived was at my mum's place in Alimos, so beachside, and just downstairs from me there was a really nice euro shop called O Proedros. Honestly, they don't call him Kiss the president for nothing. He's okay. Something else.
Yeah.
And so I was just really, really into it. It was my first week in Greece for a long time. And I was like, I'm going to have this for breakfast. And I did. And then lunchtime came and I was like, oh, I could really have a euro right now. Had another one. Then dinner, I just couldn't think of anything else. I had it for dinner as well. I repeated that for 5 days. And then I remember I woke up on the Friday and I was just feeling very unwell. My mom was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, mom, I'm just not feeling okay. And my mom, you know, being a Greek mom, first thing she says is, let's go to the hospital.
Of course.
So we went to the hospital in Glyfada because she won't just take me to any hospital.
It's going to be Glyfada.
That's right. Straight into the ER on a wheelchair. And they're like, you know, what's wrong with her? And I was just not responding. So I was so out of it. And so the doctor put me on a drip and they started running tests. And he's like, did I hit the fire? What have you eaten? And I was like, I had gyro. And he's like, okay. And before that, and I was like, I had gyro.
And yesterday,
and he's like, gyro. Mrs. Rodriguez, what did you have yesterday? I was like, I had gyro for a whole week.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I think you have an overdose. And so I literally paid 500 euro because I didn't have insurance. This is also probably a good time to tell people to get insurance.
Get your travel insurance.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way. Paid 500 euro for the doctor to tell me that I had to lay off the euro for 4 days. And let me tell you, those 4 days were the hardest days of my life. You know how they say like time moves slower when you're planking?
Yeah.
That's what that time felt like for me. Classic. It felt like I was planking.
So can I take a stab in the dark? What were you eating during those days? Was it la pa with lemon?
I was just like on a fast. I'm like, if I can't have, you know, what am I going to eat? Nothing. I was met salatula, like salad. And the fourth day came, hallelujah, and I went straight back for it. And I was okay after that. But I don't know, apparently your body can only handle so much of one food. It's either that or the fact that maybe one of them could have been dodgy. I mean, like speaking of more in terms likely of odds, if you have a lot of places, I'm sure one of them would have been a little bit off. It was in the sun too long, whatever. I don't regret it. I have no regrets. Okay. But all the while I was there, I was taking photos and videos of all the souvlaki I was eating. And then I noticed when we had our first COVID lockdown and, you know, we were all bored and sitting on our phones, just started having a moment where I was reminiscing on my time where I could holiday in Greece. And then I realized that all my photos in my camera roll were of gyro.
Beautiful.
Like, you know, most people have, I don't know, the Parthenon, the beaches.
Their friends.
Their friends themselves. Mine was just like, gyro, souvlaki. And I was like, oh, this is a problem. And I was bored. So I made an Instagram, the Euros Queen. And I'm like, I'm just going to, as a joke, put all the Euros that I've eaten, blah, blah, blah. And then it started picking up. People just started following me out of nowhere. I started getting restaurants reaching out to me saying they wanted me to try their food. And
wow.
And then eventually I realized that because obviously these small businesses were suffering during COVID restrictions, it was a good way to actually help promote them to people. So I started advertising their food, and then eventually I started working with them. And now it's just, it's become a full-time gig.
Advocate for gyro.
Unbelievable, eh?
Is there any other advocate for gyro in the world in the same kind of way?
He's the best.
Surely
job.
There isn't.
I hope not. It's better be just me.
Classic.
I will fight them with gyro.
You will. You won't throw the gyro at them.
No, I don't throw the gyro.
Fight them with kalamaki.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, people say do what you love, and this is what I love.
Fantastic.
Love it.
What a thing to love, Tom, eh?
I could say a lot there. you're the one who figured it out. It's like, okay, well, this is what we, you know, this is how to, you know, make a living out
of
this.
I really think I figured out. Yep. I figured it all out, guys. This is what it is.
Yeah.
This is life. This is your purpose in life.
This is my calling.
Well, on that note, well, I mean, we've gone deep already.
We have. We've got to get into the episode.
Let's get into the episode properly. What do you reckon, Nick?
I think so, mate. Let's go.
Stiniyamas.
Stiniyamas. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Nikolakiev. All right.
Tommy boy.
Ooh, that's good. What is it?
That is smooth.
That is a beautiful bottle, and that is a beautiful drink.
Fantastic. Compliments of the Greek Providor, fantastic sponsor of ours.
They are, thank you.
Gastra Elion, which is a Greek vodka from Nafpaktos.
And look, what a fantastic bottle that is. Did you see that bottle,
Kelly? It is so pretty. It's one of those bottles that you would keep after you've drank it and just keep it around the house.
Yeah, 100%. It's beautiful. You'd put your olive oil in there or something.
Triadafilom, like my mum would do.
Yeah. Classic. Is that what she does?
Yeah. Well, we normally have
a
fridge full of these amazing bottles with water in it for the guests.
That's right.
Just to confuse everyone.
But actually, just on that note, side note, when we were working at Qantas, I had an Ouzo bottle that I was using, a Plomari bottle, using it as a water bottle.
Oh, God.
So people were walking past and here I am swigging out this
water
bottle.
Oh, I can imagine how that looked.
HR. Anyway,
and I sat right across from HR. Anyway, sorry. Tell us about the vodka.
No, well, look, it's fantastic. And it's actually made from olives, would you believe?
That's so made out of olives.
Wow. Made from olives, yeah.
You're kidding.
Most vodkas are made from grain, but this has olives and grain.
This one's good for you.
You're kidding.
Well, funny you say that, Kelly, because there's no added sugar, no sodium, and no other additives, and it's non-GMO as well.
All right, I'll have three.
So this... This is good for us, hey? We're drinking vodka that's actually
finally a reason
healthy.
To be drinking exactly. vodka on the daily. I've been waiting for this all my life.
Classic.
But it is very smooth, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I'm actually flabbergasted that that's made out of olives.
Mm. Yeah.
Seriously.
You can't taste any difference to like regular vodka, right?
No.
But it's a lot smoother, I'd say.
Definitely. And there's a taste of pepper in there as well. It's a nice buttery
flavor.
You
didn't drop
some
pepperetti when you were pouring it?
I didn't, no, okay. Not yet.
I mean, now that you've told me that there's olive in it, I'm getting the vodka martini thing with the taste of the olive. That might just be my idea though, but...
I think he put that into your head.
Mate, probably. Probably, but it's
maybe
awesome.
You did. No, it is. No, fantastic. Ooh, Greek Providor, awesome people.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for
providing that for us.
And our beautiful food here as well. Big shout out to Kamari, Kamari Kitchen in Brighton. They always hook me up whenever I need a little feast. And we've got some delicious bittes here.
Yeah,
they're famous.
Yeah,
Tara Mosalata, which they are known for. It is incredible. It's a Yaya's secret recipe. So I have tried many times with the owner, Michael, to get him to give it over, but he will not. That's fine. That's fine. One day you'll give in. And we've got some baidakya, we've got some gyro here, of course. We have pretty much everything in front of us. And it goes really well with this vodka, this feast.
And the halloumi chips.
And the halloumi chips as well.
How good are they?
Outstanding.
They are fantastic.
Kamari, thank you so much
for
hooking us up with all of that. And we're going to be going through that as we continue to talk.
Fantastic. Vodka and souvlaki. How good is this, Tom?
Doesn't get any better.
This is the best.
Ouzo meets gyro, or vodka meets gyro, as it happens.
Epic.
Well, look, on that note, tell us a little bit about your background. Where are you actually from in Greece?
So I was born in Athens, I came here when I was about two and a half years old. My mum is from Athens. She's actually written down in like the members of old Palea Athena. So her heritage goes back to Athens. And so my dad, he's from the little island of Kalymnos. Shout out to all the Kalymnians out there.
There are plenty here.
There are plenty. Hey, they are everywhere. They are everywhere.
Try Darwin. My God.
Darwin is where they all are at.
Yeah. Well, they built Darwin after Cyclone Tracy.
They did. Yeah. They have a great reputation wherever you go. Unlike some people in Gedgira that have a crazy reputation.
Hey, mate, I lean into it. We own that shit.
No, Gedgira is an incredible island. I still remember when I went when I was 10 years old, and it has been... When people ask me to this day, what is your favorite Greek island? I still say Gedgira. It stayed with me. It stayed with me. It was that beautiful. I just remember walking around in the city and meeting all these really, really incredible people. And it just has stayed with me. So I said to myself, every time I go to Greece, I want to make sure that I can fit in a trip to Gedgira. So hopefully if I am going this year, I would love to go back there.
Well, we'll see you there.
Love to go there. Yeah, that would be awesome.
I don't know if you've gotten to that episode, but on Maestro in Blue, there's a plug for you.
Yep.
How beautiful is it shot there? I don't know if you've seen that episode, but wow.
Very, very underrated place. Hey, when people meet someone Greek and they always think of Greek islands, and for some reason their mind goes to Santorini and Mykonos. Not that there's anything wrong with those islands. They are stunning islands. But Kekira is incredibly underrated.
Yeah, good point, because I always forget the west coast of Greece.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Amazing islands on there, like Lefkada. Lefkada is probably one of my favorite islands. Lefkada
is beautiful. Insane. Yeah. The photos that you see, I just think that they look like they're photoshopped.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that's just how it is in real life.
No filter, no Photoshop. It's all just the way it is.
Yeah, it's incredible. But I myself, I'm quite proud to be from Athens. I know a lot of people have their opinions about Athens, but I think it is really, really beautiful once you get to know it, because if you go there as a tourist and you look at it through different eyes, but when you know where to go when you're in Athens, the little laneways, when you know where you should go to eat, you know, there's a lot of Greek restaurants that are underground actually, and then that's when it's really, really special. And I just really, really love going to Athens every time.
Everybody comes around eventually on Athens.
That's right,
they really do.
Yeah, there's a lot to offer in Athens.
So do you think that was 100%. After the Olympics it came good? Because it had a really bad reputation in the 70s and 80s.
I've got a view on this. So when I started going by myself and I went with friends from school and all that sort of thing, that your first impression is this is a shithole. Like, it's so hot. It's a concrete jungle, you know. And in fairness, if that's all you see and if you go in summer, that's not really the right thing. Go in winter, though.
Oh,
or
it's
go
sunny.
Outside of the summer season.
Yeah.
There is so much happening. It's such a cosmopolitan city. The bouzoukia, the street food.
Everything. It always has something going on. And I really love going back there. It's honestly probably my favorite city on earth, I would say. Athens and then Paris. Not to be cliche, guys, but I am a woman.
Classic. Well, on that note, give us some tips. Where should we go in Athens? Because we are going to head there in a couple of months.
My advice and my tips really only go as far as gyro places. I wouldn't take my advice for anything else. As you know, I get myself into sticky situations. I mean, I ended up in hospital just for eating. But if you want recommendations of where to eat really good gyro, I'm more than happy to tell you.
Definitely.
There's a chain that's called Street Souvlaki, and I absolutely love them. I go every time because they do this gyro where they cut up pieces of brizola. It's called brizolaki there, and they do it with truffle mayo.
You
add truffle mayo with tzatziki, people think it's disgusting, but together it's actually phenomenal.
It makes you salivating now.
Yeah, it's incredible. So I love the places that do something different. And I also visited the really, really famous Okostas, which is a shop that has been there since 47, 48, I think.
Platia Irinis. Fantastic.
Platia Irinis, that's right. And I went at 11 a.m. because I thought that there wouldn't be a queue, but I still had to wait 45 minutes. Best 45 minutes. It's fine. It wasn't a waste at all.
It's moved from the original spot, though, hasn't it?
Yeah. Because I went to that original spot because that's where my maps was leading me.
It's down on the corner now.
And
like
I had to ask
there.
All these people where he was. And then, because it's still a little hole in the wall. You still can't really tell. But very, very authentic. But they don't have tzatziki. Mm-hmm. They just have salsa. They just put tomato on it. And it's insane.
Really?
Yeah. And they're small as well.
I had two.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't hungry.
Yeah.
When I'm hungry, it's three.
The funny thing is between meals, was it?
There's no, I want to take this out, though, or I want to put that in or anything like that. It's like, this is what it is.
That's what it is. That's right. Yeah. Incredible. But there's a lot of places.
So no tzatziki, though. I don't know about that.
Oh, you got to give it a try. It's like people, you know, a lot of people go crazy when they hear mustard or ketchup in gyro. No, like blasphemy. But all of Northern Greece does it.
Yep.
And honestly, you can't go back once you try it. Like the first time I tried chicken gyro with mustard, now I just always order it like that. I don't care what the haters say. I will always order it with mustard.
Wow. Well, good point. So tell us, what's your favorite gyro then? What would you have? If you had a choice to have whatever ingredient you want in there, what would be your ideal?
Well, my ideal go-to is usually just pork meapola and double tzatziki. But also sometimes double pita as well in Greece. This isn't
double
for...
Pita.
If you're trying to lose weight, like don't listen to me. No, don't get double pita, don't get extra chips, don't get extra tzatziki. But if you want to go all out, just get double of everything.
What does double pita look like? Is it just doubled
up?
In
some places of Greece, they have the gyro and then up extra, like on the outside they have an extra pita.
Two layers of bread.
Okay. I haven't done that before.
Oh, it's great.
Adding that to the list.
Yeah. Okay. That's my favorite.
Yeah, fantastic. What about you, Tom? What's your favorite?
My favorite pick one. Souvlaki apola.
But so when you say apola, what does that mean? Chicken,
everything.
Pork,
so,
beef?
No. So, tzatziki, domata, kremidi.
Okay.
But in Gergera, it's also the salsa as well, which is
so good.
Which salsa. Is a combination of, like, it's almost like a tomato sauce, but almost like a gravy as well.
Oh, really?
To some degree. And ask, I've had
You're celebrating too, seriously.
I've had friends show up in Corfu trying it there. And if they're Greek and they're not from there, they don't get it. They hate it.
Yeah,
but anyone else that try, they're just like, no, that's sacrilege. That doesn't go in a pita. That's it's like bullshit, mate.
If you know, you know.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Oh, and there's like canela in it. There's all the spices. Really?
I don't know about that. Maybe
it's
he's
fancy
cinnamon.
Yeah.
No, now he's pushing it.
No. Yeah. It's like pastizada. It's awesome.
Tom, I'm not so sure anymore.
Dude, it's awesome. Believe me. See the combination of that.
Canela.
Yeah, I don't know about canela.
What is it? A chai latte? Like, calm down.
Too sweet.
But see, that goes in the pastizada there as well, the coquinistó. So, you know, it's all of these spices.
But they put a quill of canela in there. That's a bit different, isn't it?
Just a little bit of a... Yeah. I don't know. They won't tell you what they put in it, but I know that it's there.
Okay.
Jeez. Thing called spizzeriko. So Corfu's got this thing called spizzeriko that's basically a spice mix.
Yeah.
And they put that in it. That's all of those things. The combination of that with the tzatziki just makes it.
Really? The salsa. All right, we get to...
That's on my list now, yeah.
So I've got it. So double bread
with salsa. Double everything plus cinnamon. Interesting.
And cinnamon. I don't know about the cinnamon. I'll try it.
It's just a little bit. I'm not... It's not
into a French toast.
But it's going to taste a little bit sweety, won't it?
No.
No, not really?
No, there's heaps of cinnamon in lots of savory dishes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's awesome.
All right. I just can't work it out. Okay.
You're going to try it when you're there.
I will try.
What about you?
Bit lamb's my favorite, so but it's got to be crispy lamb. It can't be sort of half cooked lamb. It's got to be crispy. The chips, the standard, the red onion, red raw onion, tomato, heaps of tzatziki, bit of lemon juice. I love when they put a bit of lemon juice on there, and it's got to have paprika.
Yeah,
paprika on the chips. That's it.
That's the funny thing though. They really don't have much lamb over there, do they?
It's not a thing, right? Yeah. You know how we have that stereotype about being Greek. Everyone's like, oh, you eat lamb, and I think we only eat it once a year on Easter.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I will eat it if it's like kleftik or whatever, but I won't really get it in my gyro. But the gyro we have now actually has lamb in it, so I'll eat that.
So in Greece, it's only pork, isn't it? Hirino.
It's mainly pork and chicken.
Yeah.
Mainly pork.
Okay. And what do you think that is?
Why?
Yeah.
Do you know? I don't. Well, lamb is more expensive. I think that's
probably
why.
It's probably a cost thing.
Yeah, and hirino is easier to source for them. But I don't know, like I think personally it tastes better. Personally.
You've got a lot of people over there who don't like the smell of lamb as well. Like
it is a different type of smell, and hirino has like all the fat and it's like makes it kind of more tasty.
Tastes better. Yeah.
And the pork there doesn't have the taste that it has here.
Have you noticed how the generally not only the meat products, but all the food products in Greece just have so much more flavor? Like the number one thing is tomatoes.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about tomatoes, but in Greece I will sit down and just eat tomatoes.
You'll chow down.
like
it's an apple.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like I know what you mean about the meat as well, because here in Australia we have everything that they advertise that it's free range. Mm-hmm. And this one isn't, this is free range. In Greece, it's all free range.
You don't need to advertise that.
Yeah.
And it's usually when you go to, I would say, the choria that you have the most phenomenal, the best flavored, the best tasting food you can have. I remember when I went to Arachova and that was like a little taverna just on a mountain and the most incredible cheese, the most incredible everything. And I will say this, it's also very, very interesting how in Australia I'm lactose intolerant, but in Greece I'm not.
Ah, see, this is interesting.
I don't know if that's selective. Yeah. I don't know if it's, I'm just ignoring it. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. And my mind is at ease and I'm okay. Or it's just genuinely, you know, the product that they have is just different.
I've got a theory about this because the majority of people in Greece, and they don't even realize this, the majority of milk products over there, they're all ultra heated. So I think that might actually play a bit of a role. Most people grow up drinking nunu or, you know, milk that isn't necessarily fresh in the same way that it is here.
Mm-hmm.
I think fresh milk affects a lot of people.
Yeah. Haven't gone near milk in years.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
Disprove it.
I personally think it's just because I like being in Greece so much that I'm willing to just risk it all.
You're that relaxed that nothing else matters.
I'll end up in hospital. Sure, why not? I'll pay 500 euro for a guy to tell me I overdosed. It's worth it. That's what my mindset is.
Classic. Oh, dear. So When you go to Greece, so is there a big difference between Eros from Athens? I think we've already said Athens and Thessaloniki, there's a difference.
There is a difference. I mean, I haven't had the luck of going to Thessaloniki yet. That's definitely on my bucket list, not only for the gyro, but everything. They are very, very well known for their sweets, as you know. Generally, just their food is incredible. But there's a difference not only in what they're eating, there's a huge rivalry between what they call it. And, you know, if it's a kalamaki or if it's a souvlaki.
Beautiful. And, good. Can you clear that up for us? Because I get confused.
My opinion on the matter is this. I don't care what you call it. I just want to eat it. Like, I don't care if I have to, you know, draw it up. Yeah. If I have to bring a whiteboard with me and draw it up. And that's what I mean. Okay, so just serve me it.
Yeah.
I don't know. They get so passionate about it.
They do.
And it's funny because, you know, in the north, they call it alifi. Which is what I call face cream.
Yeah. Okay.
What us normal people in the South call face cream.
Ointment in general.
Just people, yeah. It's just humans. But they call it alifi. And there's all these different, you know, terms and words that they use for the very same thing. But that says a lot about us as a culture, doesn't it? About Greeks. That we will fight till the death about something that's so
passionate
silly.
About.
Yeah, yeah. About something just complete nonsense. Yeah.
Classic.
And it goes on until today. And I have people commenting... people tagging me in things all the time, or there's people that are just annoyed that, you know, on some days when I post a reel or a photo, I call it a souvlaki so I can please one half. And then on other days, I'll call it a gyro and I please the other half. But someone's always offended.
Wow. Yeah. So where do they call it souvlaki?
Is it
Athens?
Yeah, it is. But I think that for the majority of Greece, they understand what you're referring to when you say it. Because I actually cleared this up with the singer Thano Petrelli when I had an interview with him a few weeks ago. And I was like, okay, you're literally, you know, fresh off the boat. You've been here 2 days. Just clear it up for me. Is it, you know, souvlaki, is it gyro? Do they understand? And he's like, oh, katalevono padu. Like, wherever you say it, they know what you mean. So
you're just being dicks.
Yeah. So the whole, like, internet war that I have on a daily basis is unnecessary, guys. The battle is unnecessary.
Start controversy. Yeah.
We've just lost half our audience saying that. So in general, what we would call a pita is usually referred to over there as a souvlaki in most places.
Yep.
But a souvlaki in Athens, as in meat on a stick, is a kalamaki, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you understand it too?
Yeah, that's how I get it. And whatever it is, don't call it a wrap and don't call it a kebab.
Yeah.
Because then you're triggering me.
Okay.
Call it anything else.
That's your red line.
That's where I draw the line for myself.
Yeah. To make it clear, there is a clear distinction with what a kebab is over there as well, right?
100%.
Tell us what a kebab is so everyone knows.
Well, for starters, it's mainly beef, right? So it's it's not pork. So it's completely different. And they do it the whole Middle Eastern way.
Mm-hmm.
So they cook it the same way and it tastes exactly the same. And that is also delicious because I had my fair share of kebabs when I was there too. But it's just not the same thing.
So what's a shawarma? Is it the same
thing?
So that's
the Lebanese version.
Okay. So I think shawarma is the Middle Eastern version and doner kebab is the Turkish version.
Yeah, actually a lot of countries. Yeah, so it's the Middle Eastern version.
Okay.
Kebab is, I guess, the Turkish version. Ours is gyro.
Okay. And they're all slightly different.
Yeah. And then Australians have a sandwich.
What Americans are. Subway.
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 We're all trying here.
Yeah, we are.
Sorry to our American friends. Yeah. Apologies.
But it's interesting how the culture in this country has changed in the last sort of, I'm going to say 10 years. Because 10, 15 years ago, you couldn't get a pita in this country or in this city in the same way that you would know it in Greece. Do you remember that time? There's one shop, I won't say the name of the shop, but it's a very famous shop that people would call, we're going to go for a gyros.
Okay, right? Yes. It rhymes with the Firosh shop.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything, but anyway, they would do something there that would be more closely related to a kebab, like a Lebanese type kebab, you know, with a almost like an Iskender type thing, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Turkish thing.
Big around pita, no yep. chips.
No chips, and everything's, you know, pouring out the side, you know, it's yeah. wet, it's, mm-hmm, you know,
it's
and
messy.
It's yep. a missile of love.
Right, yeah. yeah. right.
And the first bite leaks all over your shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were all like that in the 80s. 80s, yeah. that's all we knew growing up. Mm-hmm. 80s, 90s, that was our version of gyro.
Do you remember a time here where you couldn't get a gyro? Like a proper one like you would get?
I think the
Greece.
Time you're talking about, I might have been 10 years old, but sure. Yeah.
Showing age, Tom.
Guys. I am, 10 years. Yeah, yeah. maybe. But that's something that I remember. I remember yeah, going to Greece and being like, this is awesome. And then you come back here and it's like, this is shit.
It was, but I think that there was a time where it was distinctly different. Because I remember when I went to Greece when I was, I might have been, I think, 10 years old. It was 2004 anyway, and I was young. And I remember having the first year of my life in Greece at the time. Mm. And I remember this moment because I had bought these new jeans that I was very, very excited to wear in Greece. Don't laugh. This is just like, I was really excited about these jeans. And so I wore them to a night out with like my family. We went to get gyro and I just opened the gyro and like all the ladi just dripped all over these jeans. You know, like ladi doesn't really come out. And he was saying, I started crying. But then I ate the gyro, like I bit into the gyro and I was like, oh my God, like I didn't care about these jeans anymore. And that was just a life-changing pinnacle moment for me. And then I remember I came back here and we would get from those, you know, the shops that you mentioned and it just wasn't the same. No, but yeah. Now I have to say that we've really upped our game. I don't know if it's because of the amount of Greeks that have moved here since. They've brought, you know, with them the ways that they normally make food in Greece and it's very, very similar. But I've got to say that I'm very impressed with the shops that I've tried Greek food at in Sydney. I think we're very, very lucky to live in this city in terms of the hospitality scene. Because when I went back into Greece last year in September, I actually had gyro at some spots that I thought, wow, this isn't like the Aussie one. The Aussie one's better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a big call.
I know. That's a change. Well, there you go. So the global financial crisis that happened. There was some benefit. We got all the quality people
amazing
gyro everywhere around Sydney and that's Melbourne. Right. How good
yeah,
is that?
Yeah, and in Melbourne as well, I've had great gyro as well. But I wouldn't move to a place that doesn't, because I remember, because I'm from the area, guys. Like I live in Belmore, and before I moved into my apartment there, I just wanted to make sure that there's gyro around me. So I moved onto the street where there was a gyro shop. The Ecclesia, the gyro shop, that's all I need. You know, I'll pray on Sundays, I'll eat my gyro every other day of the week. So I moved in there. I was very glad about that. Priorities, right? But now that shop has closed down. So guys, I need to, if you know anyone that's got any...
Looking to expand their
real
business.
Estate, yeah, I'm looking to move.
I'm looking to move or looking for a good gyro shop in Belmore?
I got to move somewhere where there's a gyro like within 300 metres.
Okay, I thought you were doing a big call out. Any good gyro shops move to Belmore? Okay.
No, fair I need enough. A place.
Need a house. Okay.
Well, because it's closed down. What am I supposed to do
Come
now?
Come to Brighton.
That's true.
We've got a lot of quality food
we can
out
we
here.
We can have gamati every single night in Brighton.
Definitely. We're there.
Okay.
We can do an episode 2.0.
After this, I'm going to... Maybe the next podcast will be at my place.
Done.
We're in. In. we'll bring the alcohol.
I'm still eyeing the food out, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can feel free to have some. Yeah, it's all in front of me.
I had some before. I will.
It's all in front of me. You've got to try the pita with the tarama.
Yeah. Well, ask a question, Tom, so I can ask you something.
Are there any particular shops that you can say that, okay, these guys do a really good job of it here in Sydney?
I've got to say that my number one all-time favorite, and I know that that's a really big call because there's a lot that I love, was a store called Mega Gyros in Surrey Hills. And I was there actually twice a week.
Yeah, right.
The owner at that, so he was just lovely. This lovely guy from the Saloniki had the shop for 7 years all by himself. And he was just doing the most authentic souvlaki you can imagine. It was like you were just sitting on a bench in Greece. It was that good. But I mean, he's had it for a long time. Obviously, he's been very, very tired. He's been exhausted from the COVID situation, like a lot of small business owners. So he has closed down that shop. And that was a very dark day for me. Honestly, it was just, I was heartbroken. I'm like, what do I do now? Yeah, that was like Benthos. Yeah. So, I don't know what to do after that. A lot of shops now I still really, really love. The Souvlaki Country in Parramatta, Six and Pita in Enmore, Mega in Rosebery. There's a lot. Kamari for when I want proper Greek food, although their gyro is probably the only gyro that I really enjoy, the lamb, because it's kleftiko, slow cooked. There's a lot of great places in Sydney that I love working with, and I just love visiting them just as a customer as well, and just having their food and taking friends out for Greek food. I always, always brag about Greek food to my non-Greek friends. I really think that it's one of those cuisines that are underrated. Not underrated as in, you know, people don't know about it. I think surely now it's kind of on the rise. I don't know if you guys saw the results of the annual list of best cuisines in the world from Taste Atlas, I think it is on Instagram. We got second.
Yeah.
I think that's justified.
That's okay.
I think that's fair.
Should have got first.
I mean, yeah, it's not. It was Italian that was first, right?
Yes.
Look, I'm a big fan of Italian food, so I can't bash Italian food because it is phenomenal. Yeah, it classic. Is very different, of course, to
but
Greek food.
But look who we beat. We beat the Spanish, the French. You know, they all got
that
amazing
That is a really
cuisines.
Big compliment.
Yeah.
And I made a post about that about 2 months ago, which I'm still getting notifications of people having fights over. Everyone's really angry about the fact that we're second. Hey, when you think about it, there's a lot of countries.
What,
well,
is everyone
not
saying
out of
we should
five.
Be first?
It's not out of three.
Exactly, 100%.
Calm down.
Well, was it 197 countries around the world?
Yeah.
We got two.
It is insane.
Yeah,
I'm kind of more upset about the other results that are like, Giro didn't make it in the top like 10 or 20 or something.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, Gordon Ramsay mentioned it in one of his series as well.
And then the Italian chef got very mad about that.
Exactly,
I love that.
Yeah.
I've always loved Gordon Ramsay. I always knew there was something about him, but that just set him apart for me.
Yeah,
that was incredible.
It was,
and it's
it?
Incredible recognition for us, just like that our cuisine is really up there. Because a lot of people just always think of Italian and they always think of, I don't know, like, you know, French, Spanish and all of that.
Yeah.
French for me also is in my top three, I will say.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a really, not many people know this because my whole page just screams Greece. I have a very, very big love for France. For French people, much so that I started learning French when I was 7, and I worked for the French company for about 3 years, and I wasn't allowed to speak a word of English in there, so that was interesting.
Wow,
yeah, that was fun.
In Sydney, was it?
Yeah.
Which French company?
Alliance Française. So they're just like all over the world. Pretty much, they work in the same way as a consulate.
Can
they
say that again?
Alliance Française.
Settle down, mate.
Like a French woman, mate.
Hey, I'm buying it.
That was very good.
I could just be saying, oh, flan, flan, flan.
Can you say something else in French?
Oui. Oh, goodness.
What was it? Necropolis in our show? What did Nick Giannopoulos say?
I remember that episode.
Sahara bleu, Sahara yellow, Sahara any color you want, baby.
That was funny. Iconic.
Fantastic. No, good start. So look, can we talk more about you and what you're doing now? So you started off, you ended up being sick in a hospital in Athens and you came out of it and you saw an opportunity.
Yeah.
You started posting all these Euros around the towns that you've been to.
Yeah.
And so what's happened now? So you're making a career out of this now.
I am. I didn't expect things to go this way, and I am very, very happy that I am able to be eating gyro for a living. That's I think a lot of people's dream, but I really didn't, you know, intend to do anything with this page other than just, you know, have a joke and just show people the food that I'm eating and just be like another generic food blog page. And then it all changed the point where I realized I was genuinely helping business owners, and they were very, very happy as well, hearing all these nice things about them. You know, there's a lot of pages out there that will give reviews, and the reviews are obviously good and bad. I'm not one of those pages that will give bad reviews. I simply won't promote the place. So if I've been to a place that I think that the food, you know, is not great, or the service is not great, or there's just the whole experience, you know, could be better, I just won't post about it, because my opinion is that I don't want to bash anyone's livelihood. I don't want to, you know, impact anyone's source of income. You know, these people all have families. I just won't put it on my page.
That's a good way to be about it.
Yeah, the ones
that
I do.
And they might have had an off day as well. You don't know.
That's right. Yeah. And I do also always give them a second chance. There's been a lot of times where I've dined somewhere and it wasn't great, and I've gone back and, you know, it's been better. The places that I do post about on my Instagram are places that I have tried that I genuinely love. And it's just something about them that I would recommend to a lot of people, whether it's their staff and their customer service, or, you know, how they source their food or how they cook it. But yeah, that's when this started taking a turn. It's when I realized I was helping these business owners. It just kind of started, you know, the wheel started rolling. A lot of them started reaching out and saying, come and promote us, come and advertise us. By career, I have studied journalism. So that was something that I was trying to, you know, for a long time, I was chasing my journalism career. But now I realized I came to this epiphany where I was like, why? You know, like that little Mexican girl, like, ¿por qué no los dos? Like, why can't you do both in the taco commercial?
She speaks Spanish too, Nick.
I do. Oh, yeah. That's
but I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah. Why not both?
I was like, oh, why can't I interview people while I'm eating gyro with them and just like share a gyro with them? So ultimately, what I'm hoping to get out of this and the end goal here, the dream is to be able to have a gyro with as many people as I can from all different walks of life, you know, whether it be my neighbor from down the road, whether it be a small business owner, whether it be a Greek celebrity. Greek politician, although that would be interesting with the amount of tzatziki that I eat. That would be quite messy.
Hey, if they can't handle it, man.
That's on them.
Can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen.
You know what, Kelly? You probably won't get a word in. So you could finish off your year and I'll be talking still.
It's like, please keep talking. Please keep talking
just so I can eat this. Just with anyone that really eats, that appreciates Greek cuisine. So that's my ultimate goal, to be able to interview these people, to meet these people. And yeah, that's what I'm hoping to get out of it. So that is now what I'm doing full time is I would just say I'm a content creator for Greek cuisine in general. I know that it's the Euros Queen, the name. I can't change it at this point. You know, I can't just become the pasticcio queen overnight. Like, that's awkward, you know? And where am I going to find all the pasticcio? But I think that, you know, gyro is a street food that we're very well known for, obviously. So that's why I'm sticking to that brand name. Yeah. But I'm obviously expanding into, you know, different parts of Greek cuisine. And Nick's really enjoying that gyro.
You can hear that bite.
Yeah, we heard it.
I couldn't wait any longer.
How is it, Nick?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. I'm facing Kelly, but this gyros is staring at me.
It was calling you, was it?
It was.
He didn't hear anything you just said. He's just like...
Yeah, I agree with what you said.
Very smooth of him. I didn't even realize he was eating while I was talking.
Very still.
So would you go as far as saying... now? Is it fair to say you're now an influencer? Is that a dirty word nowadays?
I hate using that word, right?
Sure.
Because there's such a negative connotation to influencers. And I can understand why. A lot of people have the argument that, you know, there's people out there with real serious jobs. You know, there's nurses, there's doctors, you know, there's people that are genuinely... changing our society. And then, you know, we have these, you know, 18-year-olds on the internet saying, oh my God, this shampoo has like changed my life. And
there's you saying this year.
And then there's me just eating. And I'm like, I don't know what's more ridiculous. Like the ones that are selling shampoo saying it's changed their life, or me, that's just eating. And people are, you know. So I try to avoid the term influencer. I really don't think so highly of myself as to say that I'm influencing anyone's opinions on anything. All I'm trying to do is promote and spread my love that I have for Greek culture and Greek cuisine to other people, and not only to Greeks, which, as you know, there's plenty all over the world. The Greek diaspora is huge, but to other people as well that are not so familiar with our cuisine, and there's a lot of it. So that's why I'm trying to not only be showing gyro and souvlaki all the time.
Look, it's brilliant what you've done. Look, you saw an opportunity and then you're making it work. Like, as much as people might bag, I don't know, the Kardashians, for example, mate, they've done well.
Exactly.
She's like a billionaire out of it. So
I can't sit here and judge what she's doing because she's doing something incredible.
I can tell you now, an idiot couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Someone smart, super intelligent, saw an opportunity, there's a market for this, bang, she's done it. She's getting rewarded. And I see you're the same.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing. There's a market out there. People are interested. You're just... tapping into that. So that's a good opportunity for you.
It is a way for me to be just showing, I mean, from the perspective of a girl that's living, literally, we're living on the other side of the world to where we're, you know, from, where our roots are in Greece. We are, I think we're the longest flight, aren't we?
Like, well, probably are.
Yeah, I mean, what,
New Zealand like is longer. New
Zealand. All right, shout out to our longer, Kiwis. But, okay, but I mean, generally speaking,
we're at the ends of the earth. Like
we are the butthole of the earth, if you will.
Actually, I looked this up. If you where Sydney is, the furthest you can get, which is literally, I think you end up somewhere in between Spain and Portugal.
Wow,
is that right?
That's the furthest away from Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah, or so put it this way, if we dug a hole down here, you end up in Spain or Portugal.
And I do always say this to my parents, you know, you had so many places you could bring me to and you chose the furthest.
Yeah.
The longest, you know, it was a battle. It was a ship journey. It was the Patrice for my dad. Why did you pick this place? I mean, you know, there's a lot of Greek Canadians, Greek Americans.
Well, what did he say?
This is where he had family.
Okay.
And then I just turn and I ask that question to my theist, and I'm like, this is your fault. God, I've got to say, like, I love this country. I love the opportunities we are given in Australia. We are truly, truly blessed. And absolutely. I do love it. But you sometimes sit and think and you're like, if you were just a few hours away from
if you were in Germany, even in the US.
I'll take Dusseldorf. Like, give me anything, right? You send me to Sydney. Like, thank God there's Yiradika. I mean, what would I be doing with my life now as a 29-year-old? God knows where I would end up.
You think about it. If we were in London or in Germany or even in the US, you could really go for a few days. Yeah. Like this, three days, four days.
But now you have to go every time for like 6 weeks just to get over the 2 week jet lag.
Exactly.
Exactly. It takes a week to wind down.
Yeah.
And then a week sort of to prep your trip back.
That's right.
And that's the other interesting thing about my page is that a lot of people that just, you know, the reels pop up on their feed or whatever that don't follow me, they're quick to assume. They're like, oh, Greek Americans. Do you know how many times I get that comment?
Really?
Like, really? Are there so many Greek Americans out there that have fueled this anger that everyone's always pissed about Greek Americans? Like, what are you guys doing there?
Well, there's what, 3 million, I think. 3 million Greek Americans.
Yeah.
We've got about, what, 500,000
500,000, apparently.
So, yeah, there's a lot more of
them. There's a lot. There. But I still think that they, I mean, we got the short end of the stick with that flight.
Yeah.
If I tell you the amount of, like, the concoction of pills that I took just to knock me out so I can sleep. Yep. Doctor approved and everything, but literally I slept for 13 hours straight on my last flight. I missed both my meals, thank God. I missed those flight meals, thank goodness, just so that I can sleep because it's so exhausting.
It really is. Yeah. So what, you go via Dubai or Singapore?
Yeah, I think I went Qatar last time.
Okay.
Funnily enough, there is a Euro shop in Qatar and everyone that was there was telling me to go to, but I didn't have enough time to get out of the airport.
Do they serve pork though? Probably not.
So maybe I won't go next time.
You hadn't thought of that, had you?
No. Imagine I went all that way and then I just, oh, that's right.
It's like, oh, you don't do pork. Oh, I'm out of here.
No, that's right. See you.
Back through customs.
So would you, safe to say you'd be the Greek version of the Kardashians or not?
Oh.
You'd hate that, wouldn't you? Because you're doing such a good job. Your name's everywhere. You're always popping up. There's people in the States now. There's a couple of influencers in the States that referenced you as well.
Oh, that's
I think you met one of them in, did you meet one of them in Greece, I think, in Athens? You were having a year or two with one of them?
With Tony, yeah.
Yes, and Tony.
That's right, with the creator of I Am Greece and Hoopla Greeks. He's the famous guy for saying up our whatever. We've just put up our whatever the reel on tonight, actually.
Yep. Okay.
So it's literally a reel of us walking through Plaka. This guy, I've got to give him a shout out because he's just so lovely. And this is coming from someone that I know that I'm not the most patient person in the world, okay? I'll admit my flaws. I made him walk all around Athens for 45 minutes. It was 33 degree heat. You know that Greek heat, right?
Yeah.
Hits you. And it was boiling on this day. And I made him walk all around just to find the right gyro from the right shop so that we can sit in the right corner so we could film a little segment together. And so I got all this food from a very well-known shop, Hookut, you know, the one that Gordon Ramsay went to. Because I'm like, what's all the fuss about? I've got to go. It's great, but they didn't give me cutlery. So I put all the food on the floor and I realized I didn't have cutlery. So at this point, I was eating just like, you know, just meat with my hands.
Yeah.
And it's 33 degrees and, you know, we're filming. We found a little quiet spot and then come the gatules. There's all these cats that are eating my gyro. And then after that, I was just like, Tim, you know what? Thank you so much. You're such a saint. I couldn't use that because the audio was bad. So I'm that pain in the ass that will go to all. Yeah. So I was like, thank you. You know, I know you don't know me. You did all this stuff for me, but
the pain is real.
That's Tom's worst nightmare.
That's me.
Make sure that the mics are working while we're at it.
We're all working. Quick check. No, we're good.
That would be your worst nightmare, wouldn't it?
It's happened to me before.
Yeah.
It's happened to me before.
Has it happened to you where you've been like thinking you filmed the entire segment and it wasn't getting filmed?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Not for this. This is in another job.
Oh,
but it actually happened on this podcast as well.
That's my biggest fear.
I'm gonna be quick behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. When we did the when I did the episode in Corfu with the governor, with Spiro, something was going on with my laptop. When you charge your laptop over there, it doesn't hold charge as well as it does here because they're all, you know, different.
Remember you telling me about
You get
this.
Like freaking 12 hours worth of charge on this thing. I fully charged this laptop and I hadn't got it plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been going for like an hour and my laptop died and didn't save.
No.
It didn't save. But I did have a backup. So, yeah. If you go back and listen to that episode, you can tell the audio quality is not as good as what it normally would be.
Everybody
That's the
makes
reason
mistakes.
Why.
Even the Kardashians. We're not perfect.
Yeah. But yes, the struggle is very real. I sympathize.
First world problems of content creators, guys.
Right.
First world problems.
I know.
So do you have any idols? Who are your idols for content creators?
Well, yeah. So there's a lot of those pages that I really, really look up to. I'd have to say, you know, Tony from I'm Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Thanasi from Excuse Me, Are You Greek? Phenomenal.
Mm.
I just love the stuff that he posts. It's like always spot on.
Yep.
And his creativity. He's very, very funny. Australia-based, I would have to say, Are You Even Greek? She's Melbourne-based. She's also hilarious. I just live for those two pages and their memes.
Yep.
They are great. And yeah, I think it's amazing that they're able to, you know, incorporate our culture and even our stereotypes in such an interesting and creative way.
Mm.
It's not an easy gig. A lot of people just assume, you know, you're just a content creator and all you do is sit there on your phone and you just make memes. But it's a lot
Isn't
of
that what
thought.
It is?
Yes.
Joking.
No, but I know there's a lot of work behind the scenes.
There is a lot of work. That it's a lot of, you know, it's a big thought process that goes into it. Your brain works in a different way to everyone else. It's just always thinking, oh, how can I use this? You know, how can I be creative with this? And then there's also the side to it that for me personally is the hardest to deal with, the most tiring. It's just with being on the internet. I mean, the people on the internet, the orexipuekune, hey. Like, Othanasis from his Choryo has to tell me that I pronounced Likavito wrong. And it's like, honey, like, where do you find that your gefi, like 9 a.m. in the morning, to write me a huge, huge, huge essay about the way I pronounce words? You know, I have to wake up to these comments all the time, and they're just. The amount of time that I spend blocking people, I've got to say, it is lengthy. I just went this morning, I went through my blocked list, just, you know, out of curiosity, just to see how many I have. I scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled.
Kidding.
Because it's just, I, you know, every part of me wants to engage and just be like, I'm Greek. I know how to speak Greek. You don't know how to speak Greek, you know.
Yeah.
But then I have to stop myself. But it's very tiring, the amount of comments that I get. The disappointing ones are from Greeks because it's like, why are you attacking me when I'm just trying to promote Greek culture and Greek cuisine? Mm. Obviously, there's the hate comments from vegans. They're always angry because they haven't had a gyro in their life.
Yeah. So what do you get from them? What do they say to you?
Oh, they just send me randomly DMs, like random DMs just about, you know, you're killing animals. Like me specifically, I'm going out there with my machete.
You're killing animals.
Going in.
That sounded a bit Cypriot there for a second.
I tried to be Cretan there,
yeah,
but
I was going
to
say Cretan.
Actually, yeah, Cretan. Cretan.
Cretan. Cypriot.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have your cousin?
Yeah.
He's both.
These
he's,
messages
he is both.
Are just out of control. Just like people, you know, there's other ones that are just like, oh, she doesn't even speak Greek. Very, very assumptive. But my favorite is the Greek American one. They're always angry, assuming that I'm Greek American. What is wrong with like being Greek American?
Nothing. They're all fantastic there.
Yeah.
We get a lot of. Actually, we just sent a couple of hats the other day to, was it Illinois?
Illinois, yeah.
Illinois, wow. Yeah. So we're sending our merch. A lot of people in the States are ordering our merch now.
Yeah.
We've got a huge following there.
On that note, buy your merch. Get in contact with us.
Yeah. Actually, only a few of you because we're running out.
Yeah.
So. Or getting quick.
Yeah.
I just think, obviously, you know, being on the internet, you know that these things are going to happen. It's not like I'm oblivious to that. I think it's disappointing when Greeks bash other Greeks. Mm. I think that that's really sad because it's like, you're obviously missing the whole point here.
Yep.
If you're finding my content offensive, then that's on you because I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm also not one of those pages that are like on the edge of, you know, borderline insult. You know, a lot of comedy... A lot of comedians, a lot of funny pages, you know, they will say something that is controversial just so that they do get that reaction. I am at all times being very cautious and trying to avoid warranting any sort of reaction. Even yesterday, I posted a video. I was on the train going to the city and I overheard these two Greek ladies.
I saw this.
Just doing a mad tobolio. And I'm like, I have to capture this because it's funny because we're on the other side of the world. You know, we're in Australia. Yeah. And to hear two Greek ladies having tobolio about a frula and nico.
Yeah.
And I'm really invested in it. I'm wondering, like, if these people were listening, but like I'm really invested in their saucy love
story.
Did
you pipe up and give your opinion?
I put
Nicola should leave her.
No. I mean, people are saying that in the comments. I put the reel on Instagram, but then, you know, I got some people just like saying, shame on you for making fun of Greeks for gossiping. I'm not making fun of, like, this was a great moment for me. Like,
well, we talked about it in one of our last episodes about Ikaria, the island.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing food and whatever, but one of it is the gossip, the conversation. It keeps you stimulated. Mm-hmm. It helps them live longer. So it's a good thing.
I mean, for me, this is what my opinion is. Does it not all go back to ancient Greece where they were gathering around the Plataeus? And okay, we had the likes of Aristotle and Socrates, so maybe it wasn't Maria and Eleni on the train. But, you know, to some extent, it was just, you know, a lot of just talking, because that's what the whole, I mean, that's how we built society and civilization. It was arguing about everything and questioning everything and talking about everything. And maybe now, 2,000 years later, that's become about, you know, Thula and Nico. But still, we're very much a communication-based society, so we always need to be talking.
Yeah.
So I don't see it necessarily as a bad thing. Of course, when you have, you know, malicious intentions, na thapsis kapion.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. But like, if you're just, you know, gathering with your friends and you just want to talk and let it all out, I think that's like a very Greek thing and a very healthy thing.
It's a very interesting point you make, though. When it comes to things like smack talk and your gossip and all that sort of stuff, that has been happening for thousands of years, and it's recorded. There's a documentary, the PBS documentary, The Greeks, Crucible of Civilization. If you haven't seen it, brilliant documentary. Yes. I think it was Professor Paul Cartledge from Cambridge talking about a piece of pottery made by a potter and obviously painted with, some sporting event on it or something like that. And around the edge, you could see that the artist had said something like, such and such from this, himself drew this. And then a little bit later on, and I bet Euphronius couldn't have managed it. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Had to put his two cents in, of course. Yeah,
that is funny.
He has to stick the knife in.
On pottery, and it's going to last an eternity.
Exactly. So it was happening then too. Yeah. It's the medium's changed. We're not putting it on pottery anymore.
What about when you go to the Chorio, you go to these islands, and you know, you walk past a little griola, and she's like, "Tinos is esi?"
The CCTV, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And then she goes around, and the whole Chorio knows your name. Yeah. I mean, classic.
Yeah,
it is.
Pianois esi.
Yeah.
Pianois esi, Matia. That's what they say in Corfu.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, that's all you say. You say one name, that's it. The whole village knows. Yeah. You walk into a shop, and that's etcetera.
See, I didn't see that as a bad thing.
No, it's a great thing. It's good. It's why we go back.
Where else could you get that, honestly, where you've got that sort of community feel instantly?
Yeah.
We tend to have that just, I mean, even the way, you know, you and I met, you know, Greeks tend to gravitate towards each other.
How did you meet? Are we allowed to say that on air?
Yeah, I think we've said it before. Outside the men's toilet.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, at Qantas building.
Yep.
Tom's desk.
Outside.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I just had to clarify that.
We were in a cubicle.
Yeah. Hey, big boy.
Yeah. Eyes straight, Nick. Eyes straight.
Yeah. Look up, mate.
Yeah. No, nah, we were.
Can you hold this for a sec?
No. I was in prime position.
Could have sent a text. Yeah. No.
Can you shake for me?
Yeah. Okay, come on, mate.
Sorry. There's ladies present. We can't keep doing this shit.
As we've talked to you before. Come on.
No. So I was in prime position. Being an important person, I was my desk was primely positioned outside the men's toilet.
He had a tally going of how many times a person would go in and go, "Oh, mate, check your prostate. You've been there three times this morning."
That is not true. You know, I had a little Corfu flag on my on my little desk there and whatever, and he came out and he's like, "Oh, what's that?" You know, and that's where the conversation started.
Well, I think I'm pretty good at geography, and I thought, I haven't seen this flag. Where's this from? What country is that from? He said it was from Corfu, and he said, "Oh, you Greek?" Because he doesn't look Greek.
That's how you started talking.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't. Does he look Greek, Tom?
No, not at all.
Yeah, really? I didn't think it was Greek. When I thought,
what do I look like?
Because I'd seen you before. Right? I'd walk past. Like, it must be a new bloke on the floor.
I want to say Turkish.
Really? Seriously?
You could be, I don't know.
Do you reckon? A little bit.
You look like Northern Greek, I'd say.
Okay.
I Pirote that's a tender, see, that's where I'm from. It's sort of taller, bit but fairer. You got the fairer
skin.
Which part
are you from?
Ipiro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know, actually. No, I couldn't pick it. Maybe Anglo-Australian, I thought. When
have
I
you
first
done one
it.
Of those ancestry tests? No. It's probably worth looking.
Could be Slavic. My auntie did. Okay. My auntie did.
She get Greek?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, high.
That's good.
So I'll take it.
You are.
Oh, you're 100% Greek. But when I came out, you didn't look Greek, right? So that's why I asked what the flag was. Yeah, you are. Yep.
And my, definitely. And my
your son's like a...
blonde hair, blue eyed. He's the Aryan race.
I never get that's that. I never like. Get that I look Greek, so that's okay.
That's what I was like as a kid as well. Just blonde hair, blue eyes, white.
He's like Swedish Greek. Like, he's so blonde. Yeah.
What happened, eh?
Ugh, yeah. Greek Americans.
Classic.
Wait till all those detractors listen to this. We look forward to your comments.
No, we get good comments, don't we? We haven't had anything bad yet, have we?
Funnily enough, we've only ever had a couple, and they came from people in Greece.
And what were they mad about?
On YouTube.
There was one about the podcast with Angelo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, we were talking about Olympic Airways,
mm-hmm.
and it was an absolute hoot. Like, we were pissing ourselves laughing mm-hmm. in here, talking about Olympic.
Yeah.
And this Greek guy comes on, and he's like, only people in the diaspora would find this shit funny.
Oh, yeah, like, one of those.
Because we are.
You are. That's right. Don't let anyone tell you not. I had a lady that started attacking all my socials, my Instagram, my TikTok. The amount of effort she went to increase my engagement rate is really phenomenal. She was just saying,
we love that.
How sad is your life? And I was like, why is it sad? And she's like, all you post about is Yiro. Like, okay.
That's pretty good.
So, I'm not complaining. Like, I didn't see it as sad. But then I went to see her profile because I couldn't help myself. And it was just like all cats. So, do love cats, but, you know, there's a limit. Don't put 38 TikToks about your cat.
Yeah, fair enough. So, what's next for Kelly? Tell us what's next now.
Well, my short-term goal is to be able to eat gyro at as many different places as possible internationally.
Internationally, yeah. Great. Okay.
I want to do like, and a lot of my followers have suggested this. They're always like, are you going to do a gyro tour?
Mm.
And I really, really should. So, I want to eat it all over Australia and then, you know, go into Europe, go into America and just try it all over the place and then meet all these people as well and have a gyro with them and, yeah, pretty much just eat.
Have you been, to Paris, obviously?
I've been to Paris.
Did you go to the Latin Quarter where the Notre Dame is?
Oh, yes.
The little strip there with all the Greek shops?
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. So, I mean, I just love Paris generally. I really, really, really love it. But yeah, I love that we have such an incredible Greek scene wherever we go. I think that is so cool that you can find like a Greek town in like the randomest of places. Like you mentioned that you had an interview with Angelo Tarujas and he was telling me that he had this incredible gyro in Cuba. And like, that's crazy.
And that's not the only person who we've heard that sort of stuff from. Like Billy Kotzis, for example, who goes looking for these things.
Yes, good point.
You know, he goes to all of these other places. And there's always a thriving Greek community somewhere and always like a Zorba's Taverna or something like that somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Where was he saying that he found one?
Helen Zahos said she found one in Iraq. Was it Iraq?
It was Iraq, actually. Yeah.
Wow.
She got out of the airport and she goes, hang on, pull over. There's some Greek sign flashing neon blue lights. So it was a Greek restaurant.
See, that's incredible.
Middle of Iraq. Baghdad. Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah.
Might have to include Baghdad in the tour.
Might have to. But the best one I've had was in Belgium.
Really?
There's a town, or Brussels, the capital.
Probably a Kalimnian, because there's a lot of Kalimnians in Belgium.
Is there?
Yep.
Ah,
it's a thriving community in Belgium.
Wow, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, well, there's a little street near where, I think it's called Monica Piss. So there's this little, I won't offend anyone, but it's a little statue of a little boy weeing, and everyone flocks to take photos of this.
Of the boy weeing?
Yeah. And you know, when you see a crowd, I'm like, oh, fuck, what's going on there? So I queued up. I heard about it. I didn't care. But I queued up and it was nothing. It was like the size of your arm. It wasn't big. And then people taking photos of his little statue wing.
His thing or the kid?
There's a little statue of a... Could be an angel.
Cancelled for sure.
You have like
sorry.
Oh, goodness.
Blugger.
Right. It was ambiguous there for a second.
It was. But that's what it was. Anyway, around the corner from there, there's one little laneway.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, you guys have such a story with men's toilets and people peeing.
You started it. He asked us how we met. No. That was funny.
Anyway, boy peeing.
What was I saying? Yeah, so it was kill people watching this fucking thing. I go, what are you looking at? I go, is that it? Oh, my God. So I slapped my forehead, went around the corner, and I walked a bit more, and there's one little laneway. No joke. The shops on the left, depends which way you're walking, but on my left, they're all blue, all Greek restaurants,
wow.
Gyros shops. But on the right, it was all red, and they're all Turkish.
Oh, wow. on the same street?
Same, literally 1.5 meters apart, maybe 2 meters apart.
God, I would love to just be there and see how these shop owners interact on a daily basis.
They get on. They're all mates. Yeah, no issue. I've got a photo of it somewhere.
That's amazing.
Yeah, one, and you see, I got from the outside, it's all red and all blue, but you walk down, they're all friends. They're all talking to each other and high-fiving. And so if you want a Gyros in Belgium, just go to this town, this little square, and you got a choice, kebabs and Gyros. And they're all, and I'm not joking, there's probably about six down each side.
Wow.
This sounds like a dangerous place for you, Kelly.
It does sound dangerous. It sounds like overdose number two, to be honest.
Actually.
Because you can go gyro on one side and then go and then get kebab the Iskender and the kebab on the other.
I should do a bit of a disclaimer, actually, now that I think very about risky. It. This was in 1995. I'm assuming it's still there.
Okay, I was 2 years old.
Our Belgian listeners, get in touch with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, actually. And I stayed in Ghent, too. So there's a really good restaurant in Ghent called the De Greek.
Great
boys, Degreik, something like that. They're from Ipiro. They're my mate's cousins. They ended up putting us up for 2-3 weeks.
Wow.
Solid. Yeah, this is when I was backpacking.
But we don't know because this was in 95.
Yes.
So it's safe to assume that there's now, like the thing that remains the same is the boy pissing.
That's still there. Monica piss, they call it. Don't waste your time seeing
Kelly
that.
Kelly brought it back.
Yeah. Kelly.
We got over it.
I thought Tom was bad. Come on.
This kid pissing could be like the Statue of David for all you know. You know, it's like that important.
Look it up. Go to Belgium. Apparently, it's one of the things you got to see if you go to Brussels.
You know, if that was a Greek that made that statue, they would have put a disclaimer on the bottom. Oh, yostu manoli pali katurai.
This is going to be a fun edit.
I know. All right, I'm done. You told me, mate. Where are we going with this?
Well, let's talk a little bit about Greek street food in general, because obviously you're the expert bar none on gyro, but Greece has a really thriving street food scene. What other sort of street foods are you interested in or do you like? Or if someone who doesn't know much about it, what should they be eating?
I know, as far as street food goes, my mind always goes to gyro. I just think it's the most convenient when you want to like walk around, you know, Athens, for example, and you want to grab a gyro in one hand and it's just very easy. But my favorite thing is like the home-cooked meals. The home-cooked meals, like, you know, the way my mom makes them or, you know, the way your yaya makes them, how they just have something different in them that you can't really pick what it is. Like, for example, souzoukakia.
Oh, yeah.
I love souzoukakia. Kleftiko, you know. Of course, there's the well-known ones like pastitsio and moussaka.
Yeah.
But there's just so many other foods. Like, it's an incredible amount of Greek foods that we have. Whether you're a meat eater or a fish eater or even a vegan, we have a lot of, you know.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of stuff. In our cuisine, I will say a story. My brother, he was, and I hope he doesn't hear this because he'll kill me. He was dating a vegan girl for a few years, and we ended up having to go to a Greek wedding, in some choryo, like 6 hours from Athens. You know, with a ktel, with a bus.
Yep.
It was in the middle of nowhere. When I say vegan, strictly vegan, will not have anything that's been cooked. In something that's not being like in the same pot, you know. So she's gone to this little choryo and she's asking people, do you have vegan food? And they're like, what are you talking about? She doesn't speak Greek either. And so they were just like, no. And then like we were walking up and down this strip for about 3 hours and didn't find anything. We realized that all along there were vegan options. It's just like they're not calling it that.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's just called food.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have that whole name label thing in Greek. No. It's just like, you know, it's just a dish. I don't know, it's just bamyes. So it's just
araka
or, you know. Best. Yeah.
Fakes, bamyes, horta, all that.
So yemista.
That's when I realized that we have a lot. Well, if you get it without the minced meat.
Well, over there, they don't do it with meat.
I don't get that. Why wouldn't you?
I actually like it without.
I don't mind it either. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we strange? A little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
You like the gourmet in it, huh?
100%. 100%. Okay. But I mean, that's when you realize how much our cuisine has to offer. I don't get why we came second in the world after all. Mm. I think we should have been first.
It says a lot about, I think, the Mediterranean diet. I reckon that's got a lot to do with it because everyone's so much more health conscious nowadays.
Yep.
I reckon that's got to be something to do with it.
But it is a very, very healthy diet. It really is. Unless you're me and you have 3 euros a day. I don't think that's healthy. But if you have everything else, it is a very healthy way of living. That's why, you know, these people in Icaria live up to 100 years old. And a lot of Greeks, they don't even need to watch their weight. They don't even need to, you know, be on an actual restrictive diet because just eating home-cooked Greek food just does it for them.
Well, we have the neuroscientific endorsement of George Paxinos, who spoke about it. So he was talking about Mediterranean diet and...
Peter Economides talked about it as well. Mm. He goes, it's the next big thing that Greeks don't get much credit for, the Mediterranean cuisine. So yeah, it's a big thing. It's a big movement now, the Mediterranean diet, and Greeks are renowned for it. So
you reckon it's going to become a whole movement that was, you know, like when people discovered intermittent fasting and that's like all crazy.
I think it's going to be on that sort of scale. Level.
Yeah.
What was that big one a few years ago that everyone was going crazy for? The 16 and 8 diet.
Paleo, I think.
There's that, there's keto, there's all sorts of crap. But, you know, this is going to
be some influencer in LA that's like, guys, I'm obsessed with this new thing. It's called a Greek salad.
You should do it.
Yeah.
There you go. Just wrap it in a pita bread, throw a bit of meat in there and chips. Voila.
Use the code EurosQueen20 for 20% off.
Classic.
No, but I reckon it will be on that sort of level
because
it is good for you. Everything's in moderation. Yeah. There's very little red meat in it as well,
isn't
it?
And it's tasty, which keeps you like from binging and going for fast food.
Exactly.
Because it's filling and you actually feel satisfied.
Exactly.
Greek food, I honestly think like it's the best. You sure hope I do, hey?
Yeah.
I
think that's what you're advocating for at the end of the day, really. Because while you talk about Yido and whatnot, it really is... I think what you're doing is really promoting the culture. It's really promoting, it's promoting one aspect of our cuisine, but it's promoting an important one that everyone can get on board with. Who doesn't like a late night kebab or gyro or whatever it might be?
Mm-hmm.
It's part and parcel of every culture, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can get it all over the world because, like we said, there's so many Greeks everywhere. So you can always, I think, find Greek food.
Definitely. Yeah, look, and it's a cultural thing. That's it. What you're doing, you're spreading our culture and having a gyros is a social thing too. Usually go with your friends as well.
Those are like the best moments for me when I just, you know, meet with my friends or my cousins in Greece. And, you know, they know now every time they pick me up from the airport, they're like, straight away.
It's the first stop.
They
know. Don't go see a yard. Don't go see mum. Don't go see anyone. It's let's go for a souvlaki.
That's what it is. Hey, like it's just...
Would you say it's the perfect hangover cure as well?
It is.
3 a.m. What do you call it? You call it a vromiko, don't you?
Oh, that's a different thing.
That's a different thing. But that's the perfect hangover cure.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
That is insane. I don't think I've had a vromiko in Sydney.
I don't think they do it anywhere here.
Mm-mm.
Someone would do well to do that.
Explain what that is again.
Make a dirty.
A dirty.
You can't call it that.
That's
in
how we should sell it.
I sell dirties.
Let's go. Dirty looks? What does that mean?
You know what? When I was growing up, we won't mention that place, but, you know, I was like 6 or 7. My dad would take us to get these gyroses. And I'd watch this bloke, right? It was a massive guy with a sharp knife, hairy, sweating, you know, big filthy moustache. And I'm sure some sweat would go on the gyros.
That's what made you good.
It's built your immunity.
When I used to hear the word vromiko, and that's what I used to think.
It doesn't have a nice name, does it?
No, it really doesn't. But for those who don't know what it is, though, it's basically just a big-ass sandwich. You know, and they put whatever you want in it. Souvlakia, chips, ham, cheese, bacon, you know, mayonnaise. It just everything goes in this thing, and it's just the greatest thing ever.
Tell me you don't crave that, like, after you've had a big night and you've drunk too much.
Oh,
like,
totally.
It's just... Yeah, oh, that's what we
used to
do.
That was the normal. We used to go for gyroses, but we never had it here, though, the vromiko.
See, this is what I have to say to Taste Atlas and those people that ranked Italian cuisine as number one. Have you ever, like, stumbled home at 3 a.m. and said, I'm going to have some pasta?
Definitely not.
But has that? No, that's never happened.
That's a great point.
Most people have wanted a kebab or a gyro.
Yeah.
That right there should just alone put us in first place.
I mean, you could kind of get away with pizza, but even that's too civilized at that time of night, no. You know?
Yeah, no.
Actually, is it true? I read recently there is a National Gyro Day on 1st of September.
It's my second birthday.
So this is like your yorti at this point, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Na mijeres de.
Yeah.
There you go.
People call my parents, la mijeros de.
Bouquets of gyro as well.
So it is such a thing.
It is a thing. I mean, it definitely needs it. Like, it deserves to have its own day. It really does deserve to have its own day.
Should be a public holiday here.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Should advocate for that. Absolutely. Who do I get in touch with so I can do that?
I don't know. I read it. I think it was on Twitter. I read it somewhere. So 1st of September is a International Gyro Day.
Every single year I celebrate that. Every single year. And the day before and the day after it. But on that day, of course.
Oh, it's a week celebration.
So what do you do differently to what you would normally do?
I eat as much gyro as I can that doesn't end me up in hospital.
Okay.
Because now I know, you know.
So you go 3 for 4 days.
Yes.
And you have a break.
That's the limit. That's the rev limiter right there.
I think I should come up with something different this year to do for International Gyro Day. Like, I don't know, maybe have like a pyramid of them and they're all different and like eat all of
them.
That's good. I'm really trying to steer away from these eating competitions and stuff because the last thing I need right now in my reputation is to get sick in front of people.
Okay. Yeah, but I think you're looking at this wrong. Mm. You don't need to do that, but you should get other people to.
What? So I watch the other people eat?
Yeah. You can eat too, but you don't need to get into a coma.
I'm kind of upset. Why would I do that?
I can see your point. Yeah. It's like buying a gyros and giving it to someone else.
That's not good.
Why would I do that?
Yeah,
that's true.
Buying gyros queen's repertoire, man. You can't do that.
Gotta come up with something, though, that I can, you know, really celebrate. Like Valentine's Day, I did an actual gyro bouquet.
It was
just myself and another couple in Thessaloniki. These two friends have also done a gyro bouquet. I am jealous. Theirs does look really, really good. Mine was also great. I went to the Souvlaki country in Parramatta and I said to them, can you make me a bouquet of gyros? They weren't even like the least bit surprised. They're like, yeah, okay, Kelly, come on. Like, come on in. We'll have them ready.
They saw you coming. It's just like, oh, fuck, what does she want?
Here we go. Honestly, it was just insane. The funny thing was that
because
this was Valentine's Day, there actually was a couple sitting near us on like their first date.
Yeah.
And it was so cute because he had bought her an actual bouquet of roses. And then she just grabbed it and she kind of just looked at mine. She's like, oh.
I want that.
I don't know what she was thinking at that moment. Like, was she upset? Was she jealous? Was she like, what's wrong with this girl? But yeah, my bouquet was like, it was a massive bouquet of gyros. It was incredible.
Fantastic.
And that did really well. That got like 1.6 million views.
That
all these people
awesome.
From all over the world are like commenting, tagging their husbands, tagging their boyfriends.
That's what my wife did. She's like, how come you haven't got me this?
Yeah.
Wow. I said I could ask you the same question.
Classic.
Very romantic. But yeah, I definitely have to think of something else for this year's Euro Day.
Wow. So would you say that was your biggest post overall?
Yeah, I would say that one was. And also a few days ago, I don't know if you guys saw, but I put a video, like it was a throwback to the days when Chris Barth was a presenter. And you know that segment where she was speaking Greek but saying vromologa. It was very dirty.
Is she Greek?
She's not. I had some people comment say that she is, but not with that accent. I don't think she is.
Well, she might be like half or a quarter.
I think what it was
there's,
if you can, like, if you put the volume up, you can hear one of the guys in the back just saying Greek to her and she was responding to him.
Oh, right.
Faskata.
Yeah, you can swear on here. That's fine.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't be.
Yeah. And it was just like that blew up a few days ago on TikTok and all these people were just like, you know, going crazy, writing nafaskata.
Classic.
To each other.
Wow.
I think I started a movement here. Hashtag nafaskata.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Fantastic. Pull up banner. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Love it. Classic. Why not?
Why so not? My two best performing posts to recap is nafaskata and me eating gyro from a bouquet.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. Full of civilization.
Right, what's your top five? You getting the other ones? I think I've definitely seen those two.
I would say after that, immediately after that, is the one where I posted about us coming second in the world Greek cuisine. And
really?
People have just gone nuts because it's just reached all these people from all these other countries that are saying that theirs is better than both.
Yep.
Italian and Greek. And so they're like, you know, have you tried food from Kazakhstan? Like,
yeah.
No, I haven't. But you didn't make the top 10. So, and that one is going nuts because all the people are just like fighting with each other. And, you know, there's all the Greeks saying that ours is better and the Italians saying, no, ours is better. But I think that all of them are really, really, really good.
Like, oh, look, you can't get wrong. I'm a foodie as well. So
yeah.
I can see the best in every country's cuisine.
If you had to pick a cuisine that's not Greek to be your favorite, what would it be?
Oh, no.
It's hard to say. Look, I'm probably leaning more towards French.
French is mine after Greek.
Yeah, actually, even Spanish. Paella is one of my best favorite things.
I think it's the flavor because the French put butter in everything.
Yeah, definitely.
And paella is just insane on its own.
Yeah, I love Paris. I've been there like three or four times.
Oh.
A couple of times for work, which was even better. Didn't have to pay for my own food and worked in, so it was
really?
The best. Yeah.
Did you pick up any French while you were there?
No.
That's when Qantas had money to burn, huh?
Yes, that's right.
The good old days.
Yeah. We used to look at the menu and just go, yep, down the bottom.
One of everything.
Yeah,
that was good. Good old days. Yeah, French.
Do you think
Je m'appelle Nick.
Oh.
Comment allez-vous?
Wow.
Un, deux, trois. La gare. Is it train station?
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's all I knew.
It's very random.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you think that the Parisians could like pick up on the fact that you're a tourist?
No.
Nah, definitely.
Not at all.
Yeah. One thing I did like, it was a bit odd initially, if you go to the cafes there, all the chairs face the street.
Yes.
People watching.
And they say that we are the masters of Kutoboglio. What do you think these people are doing when they're standing in the street talking about how short someone's skirt is? Like, you're just watching people, you know?
And Parisians also get the bad rap for saying, we get the bad rap rather than, you know, that breakfast is a cigarro and a coffee. But they're exactly the freaking same.
Yeah.
You know, Kutoboglio, cigarro, coffee, that's
and a croissant.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want?
Actually, it's very interesting because back in the 1800s in France, there was actually this term that they used called a flâneur, which refers to someone in its proper occupation. It was deemed as a proper occupation. It was just a people watcher. So there were men that would just like stand around society and observe society, and they were called flâneurs. And that's just a thing that's lasted until today. So that's why the chairs face outwards, because the French just really like to watch people and society.
Interesting.
So we do have something in common.
Yeah, I guess so. But then we go to cafes, we converse. We look at each other and we talk. But the French, I don't know. I just found it a bit odd initially.
Yeah.
I felt a bit, it was intrusive. Like we're sitting there checking out everyone. And it's okay to do that in France.
Intrusive part of Paris was how they have the random cubicles. Did you see that? Like all over. If you walk across the La Seine, the river, like, you know, where the pebbles are on them, like the cobblestone.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, you should never get a scooter on. I learned that the hard way. But they have random, like, cubicles for men to pee in.
Oh,
what is it with these countries and the fascination of men peeing? Yeah, in the open, because I saw a guy just pull it out and I was...
Right, like in front of everyone.
So yeah.
I've not seen
this. I didn't know about that before going, because this is a time where I was working for the French company. So I told them, guys, you know, this is a huge moment for me. Like, I've been obsessed with Paris and France since I was literally a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started because, and this is what my mum says, when I was 7 years old, one night in my sleep, I started having a crazy conversation in fluent French.
Seriously?
And I used to always be, like, I was a weird kid, you know, I would sleep talk and sleepwalk and, like, I would creep my parents out, you know. Like, where has she gone this time? Like, she's out on the balcony. You know, one of those really stressful kids.
I was a bit like
thank
that.
Thank God I grew out of it. Yeah. But she said she walked into my room and I was just yelling, mais non, c'est pas possible, mais tu sais pas. And just going wild, just having a full-on conversation in French. And she was like, like, no, for next to papa, like, she...
Because they're speaking in tongues.
And so the next day I was like, Mom, I really want to learn French. And I'm like, okay, we'll get you a tutor. So that lasted for about 7-8 years. Every single Saturday she was coming to my house. And then I ended up working for the company. And when I told them, hey, you know, this is huge for me. It's a really big moment. Mm. You don't understand how big it is for me to visit Paris. Like, in my room, I had about 12 or 13 Eiffel Towers.
Wow.
A big one, a small one, like just everywhere. So I said, the minute I get down off the plane, I will kiss the ground. And they're like, no, please don't. Like, it's really dirty. Like, hey, I'm from Athens. Like, you know, whatever. Don't tell me about dirty cities. It's fine. And so I did. I ended up kissing the ground.
There you go.
Paris.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Far. Maybe but we should make a diversion.
Part was a cubicle.
That's weird, seriously.
That was the part that they didn't tell me about. Like, they told me where to go. They told me which museums, where to shop, where to eat. no one warned me that I would see like all these Frenchmen pissing on the road.
Yeah. The only place I saw that was in Manchester. My son's a mad Manchester United fan. Mm-hmm. So we went to the game, went to Old Trafford, and they were like in blocks of four.
Just pissing.
Around the stadium. Yeah, literally people would just flop it out and piss in front of.
Wild.
Yeah. And I thought that was odd. I go, fuck, what's going on here?
You really haven't come that far as a society, have we?
No. But then again, if you go to a rugby league game, we sort of do the same, but we do it on.
What do you mean
fences?
You do the same?
Not us, but not you see Australian. They piss on a fence or
who
something.
Who pisses on a fence?
I haven't since I was like, yay high.
People who had
where
too
are you
many
going,
beers.
Nick?
In the again, sorry.
You reckon
I'm
a statue of
age.
Him in Belgium?
There might be one here at Cogra.
In the 80s? Oh, in the 80s and 90s, there wasn't so many toilets available and you just piss wherever you want. If you had too many schooners, that's what you did.
Apparently,
I'm not saying I was one of them, but that was my image of going. I was a bit young then, but.
You said we.
Yeah.
This podcast has taken a bit of a turn.
Wow.
But look, apparently there's a law, believe it or not, where if you need to pee, like really bad,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly what this is, but you're actually allowed to pee on the right-hand side front tire of your car.
Wait, the right-hand side front tire?
Yes.
Okay.
If you like, if you really need to go, because apparently it's obscured a little bit,
I don't
and whatever the case
why.
Is.
Because of the steering wheel? Does it make
I
sense?
Don't know.
Do you know what? Maybe that's a good luck thing that a Greek invented, because you know when they throw water on your others when you're leaving?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever done that to you? My mom does that every time I leave.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. She just throws water on the tires. So
okay.
Maybe like if you piss on the tires, that's like even better luck.
Could be pissing on the tires. Okay.
Just to clarify, does that apply to both genders?
I assume it doesn't specify.
Seems like you can't facilitate.
But it feels like
it probably can now.
It feels like one of those things that that police would target a woman for if she tried to do it.
Wow, I didn't know that. I'm gonna have to look that up.
You're probably sitting here thinking, how the hell did we get onto pissing again?
Yeah,
hell. Monica piss.
I have to stop with the vodka too because that has that.
How
effect.
Is it?
Oh, it's nice and smooth. It's beautiful.
Do you want to top up there? We're getting towards the end here, but
I'm a lightweight. I will admit, like you know, if I have one drink, you know, I mean that's my limit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You know, we all have those moments in our lives where we're like, I wonder what my limit is, and we, you know, we push it and we push it and we push it. And I had that moment when I was actually in Kalymno. And I really, really don't want to offend anyone with this story. But again, I will excuse it on my drunken self. And that's, I haven't drunk that much since then. Mm. And it was basically like, you know, we went to this club with all my cousins and stuff. And there were all these Kalymnians from Darwin.
Mm.
But a lot of them, because in Darwin, you know, there's obviously a very strong Kalymnian presence and also a lot of indigenous people as well. Mm. A lot of them obviously have, you know, mixed. And so therefore the Kalymnians, you know, they have darker skin and whatever. And so they had all just like come out and we were all just drinking and getting along. And I don't remember how many drinks I had, but I do remember that specific club was like putting vombus, just like just getting us hammered, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, got home safely. That's really good. But I don't remember the conversations I had. And this is the one time in my life that I can't recall anything from that night. But then the next day we went to Yeradigo to have dinner. And when I walked in, a whole group of about 15 people were like, "Hey, Kelly, where have you been?"
Oh, no.
And I didn't know who these people were. And I was like, sorry, how do I know you? And then like, you remember like speaking to us last night? And I was like, sorry, like what did I say?
It's like that scene from The Hangover.
Since that moment I'm like, nope, I will not drink.
No
again.
More.
No, no,
definitely.
No. I stop at one.
Good.
Yeah.
You enjoy one, two drinks, that's it. And you got to drive, so.
That's right.
We're quite responsible.
Responsible service of
very
alcohol.
Very responsible.
Yes,
at Wizard Talk.
Very responsible. But this vodka is actually delicious. It's really nice.
It is. And the food's fantastic too. No. Well, look, we've really enjoyed having you here. What are your social handles so people can follow you?
So it's the Euros Queen, and it's both on Instagram and on TikTok, but the Euros as in G-Y-R-O-S, because, you know, a lot of people spell it differently.
Yes.
Euros Queen. Thank you.
Fantastic.
It's been amazing here sitting and having some Greek food with you, some vodka with you. And I'll keep you posted on what mischief I get up to for International Euro Day.
Oh, we can't wait. And this is what we love as well. Like when it's casual like this and we can eat and we can drink and
the best.
That's what it's all about, isn't
Tell
it?
Tell stories. That's it.
Great bye now.
Definitely. Good stuff, Kelly. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for bringing in the food and thank you for your stories.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And keep up the good work. We love what you do.
UzoTalk@outlook.com is the email. Follow us on social media at UzoTalk and at Uzo_talk on Instagram. Nick Athanasiou, thank you very much, mate.
Tom, thank you, mate. And thank you to our listeners.
Take care.
Over and out.
Ακολουθήστε μας στο Soundees, στο Spotify, στο Apple Podcasts και στο Google Podcasts.